Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by the full crew today, Cody, Bo, and Tracy. How are we doing?
Better than Amazing. Bo or Tracy.
So good.
Very good. We've got Matt in studio helping us stay on track and Karen here sharing wisdom with me. Cody, what are we talking about today?
When gossip is good.
Right. When gossip is good. Now, real gossip is never good, of course. But there's things that we do that some people would think is gossip, but is actually good and necessary and virtuous. And we want to be clear about that, because too often we think we shouldn't gossip and we're not doing the right thing, and it leaves the team, the person we're dealing with, and the whole situation worse for the wear. So that's what we're going to talk about today, when you should do things that might feel like gossip, but they really aren't, and they're productive.
Hmm. And Pat, I'm assuming when you describe that, then you say, well, gossip would be any time you're talking about somebody behind their back.
Right.
And that might not be the case.
Right. And that's what happens. You know, I always said to people from the earliest days in the company, hey, if you're not talking about me behind my back, you're doing something wrong. And because that's how we figure things out. We get people's perspective. And years ago, there was a person that worked here years and years ago, and she was struggling, and she kind of knew that we were kind of on to her. And I don't mean this in a mean way, but in a last desperate attempt to get the attention off of her, she said to me, hey, Pat, they talk about you when you're not around. And I said, oh, I expect them to. That's how we do things. I even opened the door and said to somebody sitting outside, hey, she said that you guys talk about me. It's when you do this and you're venting and trying to figure things out, right? And they go, oh yeah, we do it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, thanks. And the person was like, oh no. And the point is, that's actually the sign of a healthy team or a healthy family, because sometimes you have to talk about somebody when they're not around, but you do it with pure intentions. That's the key to all this. Mm-hmm. Your intentions have to be pure.
So, Pat, when I first hear this topic, it actually makes me a little bit uncomfortable, because I'm somewhat nervous about people talking about me behind their back. And I think probably a lot of people resonate with that. What do you think that is? What's our hesitancy to gossip, or even to try to limit it in the workplace? What do you think is behind that?
Well, I think that it sounds like the right thing to do, because if everybody really understood what gossip was, then to say gossip should never happen in the workplace is a good thing. But the problem is, we don't understand what it is, and we tend to be over concerned about it, so that we don't do it. We don't talk about anybody when they're not around, and that leaves us worse for the wear.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Pat. You and I were some of this is a language conversation, where the label we use for talking about someone behind their back or when they're not in the room is gossip. You and I were just having a conversation about how limiting the English language is when it comes to words like love. Like, we love our wives, and people say we love cheeseburgers or steaks or something like that. And so I think that's a really interesting, you know, distinction to make, that you're saying, hey, not talking about someone when they're not there, there's one way to do it in service to the conversation you're about to have or in service to that person. There's another way to do it, which is salacious and not purposeful. And there, so a distinction even in the language is helpful, because Bo, even as you describe that, it's like every organization in the world on the face of it might say, oh yeah, we don't want any gossip here. But the assumption is it's always negative.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so let's parse that out. Let's figure out, when is gossip, or what looks like gossip, when is it good? And the first reason that we should definitely engage in this is when we're dealing with a person, we don't know what to do, and we need perspective of other people who care. And by going to them and saying, hey, I'm struggling with this thing Pat is doing, I want to hear what you think. Am I wrong? Am I right? Do you have a perspective I don't? And here's what's key, because I want to talk to him or her, depending on who it is, and I want to make sure that I'm doing it in the way that he or she is going to be able to hear it well, and that I'm not wrong, and that I'm not doing something that is not actually productive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, your observations, you're sort of confirming with another person, like, hey, I'm observing this, or I feel like they come across this way, and am I wrong? I love the word perspective. getting mm-hmm. a perspective from another person is informative and helpful and not at all gossipy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they might say that, then that's predicated on the fact that they're going to say, no, I think you might be seeing this wrong. How much better for somebody else to correct you before you went in there and go, oh, really? So maybe this isn't the right thing. And then mm-hmm. you have that before you go in there and you don't create bigger problems.
Yeah, you might not even be changed your mind, but you might expand your perspective to be able to see things from their point of view as well. So you're going into the conversation both right. probably a little more emotionally neutral, right? You've let off some of that steam, but also seeing more of the whole context when you're entering into a sensitive conversation.
Right. It's not black or white. You're right. There's shades of gray in there, but it's going to help you be more effective when you talk to somebody. And, you know, sometimes when you go talk to somebody and they say, and you're like, you're talking to them about it, and then they find out what you talked to somebody else. I've had people say, well, you mean you talked about me with somebody else? Why didn't you come directly to me? And it's like, well, I am now. I wanted to make sure that I did this in the right way. Because sometimes people, when they get defensive, will say, well, I can't believe you talked to somebody else about me. And I lean right into that and go, oh, no, we should all be doing that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I would say it's probably even more likely that you've gone to that person. Like, it's not one way or the other. You know, like, you've right. probably had a conversation once or twice with that individual, and then you're asking for more perspective because things are still not making sense, or behavior isn't changing as a result of those conversations. So it's very rare that that's the first conversation. I'm not saying there has to be an order, but mm-hmm. I think you've said in this case, it's like, oh, I've talked to this person a handful of times. I need another way to think about this. I'm going to go ask Tracy to weigh in on how I'm approaching it and what I'm observing by way of serving that conversation better.
That's right. So to get perspective so you can have a more productive conversation with the person you're talking about, that is good intentions, pure intentions, and that's a good reason to talk about somebody when they're not in the room. There's another mm-hmm. reason, and that is if you don't do this, if you have a very like hyper-vigilant sense of virtue and like, oh, somebody is struggling with a person and they're not in the room and you go, I shouldn't say anything about them. What that's actually bad because it makes that person feel insane. Just to be able to say to somebody, hey, you're not the only one who feels that way. I think you're right. Now, at the same time, you go, I hope you're going to do something about this and let me help you to go talk to them. But to leave another person sitting there feeling frustrated with somebody and not say, I understand, I can relate to that, I agree that your assessment of them is accurate, that's mm-hmm. not virtuous. That's leaving somebody wondering if they're crazy.
I love this, Pat. Even as you're talking, I'm thinking like, oh, here's another example of what differentiates gossip from what we're talking about. And that is your intention to go have that conversation with the end user, like the person that you're talking about. Gossip for gossip's sake is, oh, I just want to talk about them behind their back and get some level of satisfaction about that without ever having the intention to go have the conversation with the actual individual. And mm-hmm. so if you're in that conversation and somebody pulls back, I think like even in that, you're like, no, this is for the purpose of going and having a productive conversation with them, giving them permission to weigh in and give you more perspective. But when somebody leans out of that, it sort of implies the opposite, that this is where the conversation stops.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's something about gossip that has always felt sort of cowardly to me, when it's like, I'm not going to go to the person, I'm just going to talk about them behind their back. But actually done the way you all are describing, it can actually give you courage. If I come to Cody and we're talking about something, it's like, hey, I've put it out there, Cody, now you are also partly responsible to help give me the courage to go have the conversation that I need to, right? I've not just kept it inside. I've invited somebody else to help me be able to lean in relationally to the interpersonal courage that I need to have.
Yeah, and you need that. And again, it's that combination of grace and truth. And you go to somebody for perspective to say, tell me, am I seeing this clearly? That's the truth. How can I actually talk to them in a way they can hear it and feel dignified in that? That is completely virtuous. That's when one person calls gossip is actually completely well-intentioned virtue. And we do not want to leave that virtue on the table because we're afraid that it might look like gossip. Mm-hmm. So there's a third reason why gossip, not true gossip, but is important. Because when a person holds it in and doesn't ever say anything, and they go to work and there's somebody that's driving them crazy, and they say, oh, I shouldn't say anything. I should just be, you know, I should just eat this, and I should never complain, or I should never go to somebody and say, does this drive you crazy too? Eventually, it comes out way stronger. In other words, if you don't do a little venting, think about that term. It's blowing off steam. It's opening the vent. It is going to come out when it finally does, and it's almost inevitable that it will. It's going to come across so much harsher, so much stronger than you ever intended it to. And letting off a little steam is a really important thing, as long as you're doing it not to indulge the conversation. See, and this is where pure intentions get. You got to ask, actually be courageous with yourself and say, am I doing this to indulge? Or am I doing it to hurt that person? Or am I doing this to make myself feel better? That's actually when gossip is in play. But I think most of us, if we can stop and ask ourselves, say a little prayer and say, let me do this for pure intentions, that's not gossip, and it's actually really good.
You know, I love that, Pat. Tracy, this is something I think you're really good at, is both the precision with our words, like talking about somebody helps you be able to figure out what is the right word, what's the right way to be able to say it so somebody can hear you, but also the timing. This is what you're exceptional. One of the many things you're exceptional at, Tracy, is helping be able to discern when's the right time to have that conversation, because it's not necessarily more kind or more courageous, Pat, to do it right now.
Right.
It might be that you need to think about all the other dynamics going on between you and them and at work and your family, and another person can help you be able to sort that out.
We'd like to hear what you think about that, Tracy.
I'm not exactly sure how to respond to that. Sorry. I don't exactly know what you mean.
Well, you know, it gets into working genius a little bit too. Like, you have great discernment, right? And so you go to somebody and you say, hey, I'm frustrated. And Tracy, you might very well say, I think a lot of people get frustrated with that. That's something he needs help with. But you know something? I don't know if this is the right time.
Oh, absolutely.
That's an exercise of discernment, I think.
So I would say, Bo, to your question, the perspective. I love providing advice on the perspective. This is a dynamic that we do at the table group quite a bit. So if we're having issues, seeking that perspective is so key. That's the number one thing you should do. And always checking ourselves and asking ourselves, are we doing this to get someone on our team? Are we doing this to tear someone down or for vengeance? Checking them on those things is really important.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. It's like, what's the good that comes from this? Either perspective and approach, my sanity, or allowing me to blow off just a little bit of steam so I don't over index on frustration. They're all good reasons to do this. And it does take, and you're going to see somebody in your office that's talking about somebody behind their back, and it really helps for a third party to check people and go, hey, are you guys going to do something about this? Are we going to talk to them? Or are we just doing this because we can? And gossip is one of those things that all people have the capacity to do it for the wrong reasons. And it's really good if you can care about somebody enough to say, I think we're indulging now.
Yeah, Pat, as we're having this conversation, I feel like it's sort of building on some of the courage conversations we've had before. This is like interpersonal courage, this willingness to want to go help your coworker be better or be more self-aware or realize how they show up in a room and how that comes across. And so often it's a lack of interpersonal courage that allows you to gossip and not ever do anything with the information that you have. So the sort of abdicating the responsibility of confronting that individual rather than just going behind closed doors to the water cooler and saying like, oh, isn't that wild that he does this or that she is like that? And so I do think there's a build on that interpersonal courage that we had talked about.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that a lack of interpersonal courage combined with virtue, but can be misguided in the sense that it might make you not talk about somebody because you're afraid of how it's going to come across. Like when in doubt, I'd say hesitate. Like I said, say a prayer, talk to a confidant and say, help me figure this out. But a lack of courage will sometimes make us do something and call it virtue. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. You know, Pat, I was thinking this actually happened in a room I was in probably not even a week ago, is I was talking about you behind your back. But, and so the two things I thought about this is I was explaining your sort of incessant desire for context, you know, and the way I was describing it in the middle of this product conversation was like, he's very simple and he really wants it to be like, it has to be simple. And for, you know, and as I was saying that, I could see the people in the room being like, oh my goodness, you're talking that way about Pat. And so one, it was true. And you would acknowledge that it's true. And two, I said, yeah, and I think this is really helpful. And if people are like, I don't know, I just still don't feel comfortable, is almost, I said in that meeting, I say everything in front of his face that I say behind his back. Like I would say this if Pat were here. It's in service of this conversation. So you get a picture of who he is when he's in this room, and not by way of, you know, like when we describe, when we're talking about the health of an organization and we say politics is changing what you do or say based on who's in the room. Well, gossip is a form of politics, but if you're planning on saying that very thing that you say behind someone's back in front of their face, I think that's a very healthy way of approaching the interpersonal dynamics.
That's a great, so trust enables us to talk about each other behind our back so that we can have more productive conflict.
Yep.
But without trust, it's going to be destructive. That's a really good point, Cody. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And this, and I'm so glad you said that, because this conversation is a little scary and I'm sure it will be somewhat controversial, but saying the foundation is trust. And if you don't have that, I think gossip is just never good.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. All right. So that's an interesting, that'll be interesting for people to talk about in their office. Cause do we mm-hmm. do too little talking mm-hmm. about one another in order to help one another? Then our personal development is going to get restrained. Or do we do it too much? Do we indulge in that and create pain that isn't right? And does that break down trust? So that's a good thing for people to talk about. Okay. We need to talk about the unpaid advertisement, but before we do, we got to talk about last week's, because we talked about this Oxford comma, and frankly, it was just a poop storm. I mean, people were just angry. There's so much controversy going on here. We got a lot of great notes. And I will say, as a person who's not pro Oxford comma, more of the feedback we got was for the Oxford comma. I'm not thrilled about that, but I can do it. I'm not too proud to admit that I was wrong. Or frankly, that a lot of people out there are wrong. I don't know. But I want to thank Chelsea and, how do you say that name? I know that's an Irish name. Shoban? Matthew, Christina, and Kevin, all of which said they're for the Oxford comma. Julie said she thinks it's a curse, somebody named Julie. But Andrew gave, I'm going to say this, perhaps the greatest feedback of all about this. I'm going to read what Andrew said. He said, he's a countywide elected official working with the local court, he said. If he had jurisdiction in Utah, he would see to it that Bo gets sentenced to 40 lashes with a wet Oxford comma and 20 for making it unpaid advertisement and 20 for being in favor of it in the first place. I think that I got to go with Andrew as the best comment of all. But
Andrew,
I love
for president, in fact, Andrew for president, and move to Utah, because I would buy a front. I actually just emailed him back maybe an hour ago, but I would buy a ticket to watch that punishment of Bo.
I knew people were passionately pro the Oxford comma. I got more direct messages on LinkedIn about this episode than probably every other episode combined. Lots of people standing in solidarity. They are, listen, everybody, we can probably just relax, okay? We should probably take up bigger causes than the Oxford comma. But I guess people are as passionately against it as they are for it. So I didn't know I had stepped quite into that fray.
Yes, but I would say more people were on your side, Bo. Kudos to you. Okay, today, our unpaid ad really comes to us from Tracy and Karen. And I think that makes perfect sense, because really, in most ways, they have to deal with this more than we do. And that is, we are arguing for the nose hair trimmer today. That's the product that we're going to do an unpaid ad for, the nose hair trimmer.
Amen.
I hear
that.
About this from my wife too. I don't see the big problem, but she does. Perhaps that's because I can't see my own nose. And she is very often saying, hey, do you have that nose hair trimmer with you? And so we think that that's an invention. I don't know if anybody who came up with that, if they realized how important that would be one day. But yeah, I'm pro the nose hair trimmer.
My wife is also very pro the nose hair trimmer. I don't think that's the problem, Pat. I feel like what needs to happen is somebody needs to invent a sticker that you put on your mirror that says, remember the nose hair trimmer, because it's I'm not opposed to it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Karen told me a story. I'm going to out her here. Her and her husband were driving. Her husband was driving and she just reached over and yanked one out. Right. And he was like, I'm driving here. And I'm sure he couldn't see because your eyes water when you do that. Cause we've all done that. But so I just wanted to say Karen loves her husband so much that even while he was driving, she decided to do the job of that. So that's our unpaid ad today. Go out and get yourself a nose hair trimmer. Get one for everyone you love. All righty. We have a great audience. The feedback we get from people is fantastic. I want to thank them all. Thank you guys, Matt, Karen, and everybody on mic. And we're looking forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.